Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans, and welcome to another edition of Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast family, your team every day. Patricia Traina here with you, and it is Friday, January 15th. We are midway through the month at the end of the week, so we have another weekend of playoffs coming up. Ahead of us, the divisional rounds. Unfortunately, the Giants not in the playoffs. But listen, hey, here at the Locked On Giants podcast, we are breaking down the 2020 position unit reviews, and we are up to the wide receivers. Then starting next week, we will have the offensive line, the defensive line. We'll talk linebackers, and then we'll get the positions from the secondary in. I haven't decided if I'm going to do one big position group there or break it down cornerbacks and safety. And then we'll finish out, of course, with the specialists. Or maybe we'll try and lump them in depending on how much time each position takes. But anyway, today's show, we are going to talk receivers. And receivers, you know, I want to start off with a mistake that I have long believed that the Giants made going back to 2018. Which, 2019, it was after the 2018 season. And it's something that, you know, whenever I get a trade proposal from Giant fans, I always say to them, okay, who are you going to exchange or who are you going to replace the guy that you're proposing, be traded? And the Giants, to my thinking, fell into that trap. So they traded away Odell Beckham Jr., who was the number one receiver. Now, I don't hate the trade itself. I never did dislike the trade. It was necessary. And the Giants, for what it's worth, they got decent value back. Jabril Peppers, a couple of draft picks, one of whom turned into Dexter Lawrence, the other O'Shane Zimenez. But where the Giants went wrong in that trade is that they never replaced the quality of receiver that Odell Beckham Jr. was. So, you know, they went for Golden Tate, who was a veteran receiver, still had some gas left in the tank, but not a whole lot as it turned out. And, just something was missing. Tate was not really a number one receiver by the time the Giants got him. Maybe he was back in, you know, the prime of his career, but by the time he came to the Giants, he was not. And to me, you know, you look at the Giants receivers and the performance this year. Now, granted, Sterling Shepard missed time with turf toe. Darius Slayton was banged up. You know, Tate had, you know, some issues, you know, including missing one game because of his me first outburst on Monday Night Football. But really, when you look at the Giants receivers, did they really have anybody who you can honestly say scared opposing defenses? I mean, think back to when Odell was here. Odell routinely drew bracket coverage. I don't think you can say the same was true for the Giant receivers and who they had this year. And what the Giants tried to do, I think, and it fell short, obviously, is they tried to maybe go the undrafted free agent route. You know, last year's draft class was very deep in receivers. So a lot of guys who ended up not getting drafted might have in ordinary classes been day three picks. The Giants picked up three of those guys. And, you know, of the three, really, I guess you could make a case for Austin Mack showing some potential, but nowhere near being the number one receiver. So fast forward to the offseason, the 2021 offseason, and what's high atop of the Giants' need list. We can all agree that receiver, a playmaking receiver, is high atop of that list because the Giants now for 2 years since getting rid of Beckham never really replaced that level of skill in their offense. And, you know, P.S., you look at Eli Manning's early years when he was just starting out with the Giants. And he had some legitimate receivers. He had Amani Toomer, Plaxico Burress. He had some big time names there. Daniel Jones did not. Okay. So, you know, if you're going to make a decision and say, okay, Daniel Jones is indeed your starting franchise quarterback, you've got to even out the playing field a little bit for him. You've got to get him some playmakers. And that will be a priority this offseason for the Giants. I don't know if it's going to come via free agency or the draft or a combination of the two, but I would not be stunned if within the first three picks the Giants don't pluck a wide receiver somewhere in the draft. I think a draft is a given because this is another good year for wide receivers in the draft class. So, you know, just an overview of the Giants receivers. In the next segments, we're going to go into the specifics of the players. But clearly the Giants, you know, receiver, they've got to get one. They've got to get one. And I think Golden Tate, you know, who has one more year, I think, left on his contract, I think we've seen the last of him in a New York Giants uniform. He's going to be a salary cap cut, would be my guess. All right, folks, stay with us. We have plenty more here on the Locked On Giants podcast right after these words.
Have you tried the all-new and improved Built Bar? If not, you're missing out on one of the industry's healthiest and tastiest snack treats that's loaded with protein and low on sugar. With 18 different flavors, including nut and non-nut variety, you'll enjoy healthy snacks covered in 100% chocolate that's soft and easy to chew, and most importantly, great for the health conscious. Built Bars are great for folks on the keto diet and include protein and fiber nutrients you need without the exorbitant calories. And use the code LOCKEDON at checkout to save $10 off your next purchase. Visit BuiltBar.com to check out their amazing offering of flavors and put your customized box together. And don't forget, use the code LOCKEDON at checkout to save $10 off your order. That's BuiltBar.com.
Hey, Giant fans, this is Patricia Traina, host of the Locked On Giants podcast. If you're looking for a way to keep Giants football in the forefront during this offseason, pick up a copy of my new book, The Big 50 New York Giants, The Men and Moments That Made the New York Giants. This 350-plus page book takes a deep dive into the rich history of the Giants franchise, covering every era with stories, photos, and more that take you behind the headlines. The Big 50 New York Giants is available on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, TriumphBooks.com, and wherever books are sold. Pick up your copy today, and thank you to everyone for your support.
Welcome back, Giant fans, to Locked On Giants Segment 2. Happy to have you with us. And we are reviewing the New York Giants wide receivers on today's show, breaking down some individual performances and just some thoughts about the performance of the unit this past season. And 2020 is mercifully over. It's time for a fresh start and a few more wins. If you're betting this year and want more wins, listen to the Locked On Bets podcast with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They are picking college basketball, football, and NBA locks all winter long. Subscribe to the Locked On Bets podcast wherever you get your podcasts. All right, in this segment, got to start off with Sterling Shepard. Because, you know, you talk about giant playmakers at the receiver position, and I think you can still say that Sterling Shepard is very much a playmaker for them. The thing with Sterling, though, is, you know, I've always thought that he was best in the slot. The Giants of recent years have moved him around. You know, they've given him more snaps on the outside, and I still think he's better in the slot. I think he's had more of his touchdown receptions and production from the slot. But just going over his 2020 stats here, he had 66 catches out of 88, pass targets, 656 yards, 3 touchdowns. His 75% catch rate was a team best, all right, hands down. And it also needs to be noted here that Sterling Shepard did miss a few games due to turf toe that he suffered in the Week 2 loss to the Chicago Bears. And you know what? I said it then. I'll say it again now. When the Giants lost Sterling Shepard, that hurt their passing game. And if you want numbers, let's talk about numbers here. The Giants average 198.5 yards with Shepard in the lineup. And without him in the lineup, when he was on injured reserve, they averaged just 160.7 yards. All right, so that's a big difference, you know, in terms of what they were missing without Sterling Shepard. Now, with that said, durability is a concern with Shepard. He missed games last year with the concussion issues. He missed games this year with the turf toe issues. You know, so that's something you've got to keep an eye on moving forward, especially as his cap number continues to grow. All right, so that said, Shepard, you know, he's not going anywhere this offseason. I got to believe he's still part of the team's plans. But, you know, just something to keep an eye on moving forward with him because, you know, again, the durability is a big problem. You know, if a guy is going to miss chunks of time here and there every season and the cap number is going to continue to rise for him, then at some point you've got to ask yourself if he's worth carrying for the long term. All right, I mentioned Golden Tate in the last segment. Let's look at his numbers. 35 receptions out of 51 pass targets, 388 yards, 2 touchdowns, where Tate basically saw some issues, I guess, in the lineup. I went back and I took a look to see where he played. And he had fewer snaps in the slot than he did the year prior. The only time he really saw a spike in his slot snaps was when Shepard was not in the lineup due to his injury. Matter of fact, weeks 3 through 6, which is when Shepard was out of the lineup, that's when Tate was almost exclusively in the slot for the Giants. But anyway, Tate's bread and butter has always been his yards after the catch. And this year, he only managed 79 yards. That was the first time in his career he failed to hit at least 100 yards after the catch in a season. In terms of the best of the Giants receivers amongst making contested catches, he kind of, you know, he was still pretty strong in that area, but another stat where he dropped off a little bit, according to Pro Football Focus, was in his average yards per route run, which in 2019 was 1.60, and in 2020 dropped to 1.28. So that was also a reduction in his productivity. Add to that the fact that Tate was removed from punt return duty, exclusively replaced by Jabril Peppers, and as a result, Tate saw his 32 snaps that he played on special teams in 2019 cut down to just 14. And you know, look, we talked earlier about Sterling Shepard and how, you know, at some point the contract has to continue to justify the guy's presence by, you know, and the justification obviously is his productivity. So overall, I think you could say safely that Tate's productivity dipped this year, and it's a big reason why he is not going to be on this team next year. I would be very surprised if he's on this team next year. And you know, also in keeping with the notion that, hey, you know, you can't just cut a guy or get rid of a guy without having someone to replace him. Again, the Giants, I would be stunned if they don't pick a receiver in this draft class coming up. I wouldn't also be surprised if the Giants were to add via free agency a playmaking receiver. Now, you know, it all depends. And over the, you know, the next few weeks, I'm going to try and put stuff together and kind of figure it out or try to figure it out. But so, yeah, if the Giants do move on from Tate, it's not as though they're going to have a glaring hole on the roster. They will probably replace him with someone who's younger and hopefully, you know, who can be that number one receiver that they have been missing since trading Odell Beckham Jr. You're listening to Locked On Giants with Patricia Traina. We're going to take our final break, and when we come back, we'll talk about Darius Slayton and the rest of the receivers. So stay with us.
Are we ready for some football? College football heads into bowl season, And the NFL has some big matchups coming up as the 2020 regular season comes to a close and the playoff picture becomes clearer. And there's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust, betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. So don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sports book experts.
Welcome back, Giant fans, to segment three of Locked On Giants. Patricia Traynor here with you, and we are breaking down the New York Giants wide receivers and their performances from 2020. And if you're looking for best bets heading into Sunday's NFL action, listen to the Locked On NFL podcast every Friday as your boy Q and Bo Brock are joined by a betting expert and analyst from the Action Network. Get your full weekend preview and Sunday six-pack of winning bets every Friday on the Locked On NFL podcast. Subscribe to Locked On NFL wherever you get your podcasts. All right, let's continue on. We need to talk about Darius Slayton now, who finished with a Pro Football Focus grade of 67.8. Final stats, 50 receptions out of 96. Pass targets for 751 yards, three touchdowns. Now, when you look at Darius Slayton's numbers and his overall production, you can easily say, okay, he had a sophomore slump. Let's go back, though, to his rookie campaign for a moment, kind of try and put things into perspective a little here. As a rookie, Slayton got an unexpected uptick in opportunities due to, you know, the injuries to running back Saquon Barkley, the fact that Sterling Shepard and Golden Tate were in and out of the lineup, as was Evan Engram. All of those guys missed a combined 22 games. Slayton, who missed two games as a rookie due to a hamstring strain, was by far the most consistent and available receiving option. So he benefited really from being able to be there week in and week out once he got over that initial hamstring strain. All right, so let's jump now into 2020. Daniel Jones had his full receiving group and Barkley and Engram together for just about five quarters worth of play before Barkley, you know, suffered his season-ending injury. Shepard, as I mentioned, suffered a turf toe. Golden Tate had some issues where he earned himself a de facto one-game suspension for his me-first outburst. So Slayton still saw a lot of pass targets. He saw 96 targets. But his catch percentage dropped to 53.2% from his rookie season, 60%. Now, how much of that was a result of the fact that Slayton himself was also banged up? You know, in the second half of the season, he had a sprained foot. I believe he had a shoulder issue as well. Never missed a game, but he was banged up. You know, there were some close calls where you wondered if he was going to be out there. You know, but overall, again, his touchdown percentage fell. He had eight as a rookie, three this year. Also dropping were his yards per reception and yards after the catch. And his drop passes rose. So, you know, part of that, again, could be because of the injury. But overall, you know, when you're out there, you've got to make the plays. And you know, Slayton, for whatever the reason, just this year, he looked like a fifth-round draft pick instead of potential number one receiver. I know how so many people were thinking, oh, you know, maybe the Giants found a diamond in a rough and found their new number one receiver, and this guy, Slayton. And, you know, he kind of came crashing back down to earth. Now, Slayton was still the Giants' best deep threat. But again, the Giants really didn't go down the field that much. With Slayton, He was targeted 21 times on passes of 20-plus yards, and he only caught the 6 out of the 7 catchable passes that were thrown deep, that according to Pro Football Focus. So really, you know, we've seen the best of Slayton. We've seen the worst of him. Year 3 is going to tell us a lot, but I don't know that he is necessarily the number one receiver that some people thought he was after his rookie season. I think he could be a good, you know, number 2 receiver, maybe even a number 3 receiver. But again, it all boils down to the Giants need to get themselves some playmakers. And they will do it. I mean, Dave Gettleman, John Mara both acknowledge in their year-end State of the Giants address that they have to get playmakers for Daniel Jones. All right, couple other guys worth mentioning. Dante Pettis, who towards the end of the year finally got back on the field. Now, I know a lot of people, when the Giants claimed Pettis off of waivers from the 49ers, they were like, okay, why isn't he getting on the field? And Pettis had the COVID-19 virus. He tested positive. And towards the end of the year, when he finally spoke to the media, he admitted that, you know, the symptoms kind of, you know, took its toll on his stamina and whatnot. So I would not be surprised if next year we see more of Pettis maybe as a punt returner, because that's why they really picked him up. That's what appealed to them. But of course, you know, he's going to have to make the roster. And if the Giants add, if they add a bunch of guys to the receiver spot, which I think they will, then the bottom of the roster is going to be very competitive, to say the least. Other guys, let's see, Austin Mack really is the only other receiver I think worth mentioning. He had 7 receptions out of 12 pass targets, 91 yards. He was a guy who I always thought was the most intriguing of the 3 undrafted free agents they signed, Derek Dillon and Benjamin Victor being the other 2. Where Mack, to me, really made his mark was as a downfield blocker. And not surprisingly, Pro Football Focus had him as their highest graded receiver in run blocking, amongst the Giants receivers, that is. You know, that was a big thing. We talk about obviously receptions and yards and all that stuff, but run blocking is very key with these receivers. So Mack was, you know, he delivered the goods there. So he was also on special teams and contributed there. I think he was mostly on the kickoff return team. But look, again, playmakers. They need playmakers. And you know, I've said it before, they just didn't have enough this year. They really didn't. And I think if we look ahead to 2021, figure that Shepard, Slayton, and Pettis will likely find their way onto the roster. Beyond that, I don't know who the Giants are eyeing just yet. I have to take a look at that in more detail, but changes are coming to the Giants receiver core that are long overdue. All right, Giant fans, that's going to do it for this edition of the Locked On Giants podcast. Thank you so much, as always, for listening. And be sure to tune in next week. We'll have more position unit breakdowns as we wrap up 2020. And then we will, of course, go and start looking at 2021. So until next week, have a great weekend and enjoy the playoffs.